Blog Talk Radio.
Catch us also as we put up a podcast on our wonderful website, mswsports.com. It's through SoundCloud, where you can hear myself and the esteemed co-host, Tom Hellas, break down all of the action for the upcoming NFL week. We kind of switched things, and we're running on a different tip now. We're doing everything football. Everything football. So, sorry, NBA lovers, MLB lovers, NHL lovers, boxing lovers, but we're just doing football. We've been doing our podcast for 3 weeks now, and it's been pretty good. We love it, so we are glad that you guys are back here with us, joining us for yet another ride on the Fantastic Voice. Well, you can give us a call here at 310-742-1773. Again, 310-742-1773, where we break down the action tonight. We're only here till 7, so we're going to break down the action for week 3 of the NFL season. It was an eventful one, to say the least. Not that much drama, but a lot of storylines that we can cover. We don't have a lot of time. Also, we want to talk about tomorrow night, Thursday night, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. 2-1 Steelers, 0-3 Ravens, dueling it out. Should be a very good matchup. NFL Network, CBS, can't wait for that one. But first, let's talk about Monday night's game between the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs losing that one on the road, 28-38. Good game by Jamaal Charles. He rushed for 3 touchdowns. The Green Bay Packers putting up 38 points. And Aaron Rodgers just looking phenomenal. 5 touchdowns by him. Randall Cobb got very involved in the offense. They didn't look to miss a beat. It was a very, very good matchup between Green Bay and Kansas City, if you're talking about passing. Aaron Rodgers looked pretty good, and the Kansas City Chiefs, defensively, they didn't look so great. Green Bay 3-0, KC 1-2. Are the Green Bay Packers the best team in football right now? That is something that we have to take a look here and see, because with Green Bay, that team looks great offensively, and yet they do not have Jordy Nelson. So with the Packers, you have to take a look at yourselves and say, hey, they're doing this without their top receiver. Give credit to Randall Cobb. He's a very good player. Give credit to the other wide receiver corps that they have. But the Kansas City Chiefs could not stop anybody on Green Bay's offense. Green Bay looks very good. Eddie Lacy didn't need to play a lot on Monday because 12 had it on his back the entire game. So you have to take a look here and see what's going on with the Chiefs and their defense. So having said that, going to the other team in the AFC, 3-0 Patriots taking on the 1-2 Jags, 17-51. Not much of a contest. So with that, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're 1-2. The Jacksonville Jaguars also 1-2. They lost to the AFC and the NFC's respective best teams in the NFL. We're going to talk about that game, but what we're going to do is take a quick break. After the break, we got a lot to cover. My boy TH is going to be joining me. Hit us up, 310-742-1773. We'll be right back.
With the foes and the moles, watch up the store for the rolls, talking straight forward to hoes. Got uncles that smoking, some put blow up they nose to cope with the lows. The wind is holding it blows. In they socks and they souls, niggas holding they rolls. Corners leave souls opened and closed, hoping for more, with nowhere to go. Niggas rolling in droves, they shoot the wrong way, cause they ain't knowing they goes. The street ain't safe, cause they ain't knowing the cold. By the foes, I was told, either focus or fold. Got cousins with clothes, hope they open some doors. So we can not close and roll in a roll. Now I roll in the O's with windows that don't roll. Down the roads with cars get broken and sold. These are the stories told by Stony and Cottage Grove. The world is cold, the block is hot as a stove. On the corner, I wish I could see this feeling. I wish I could see this feeling. On the corner, niggas ride.
Michael Mack. Sorry I'm late. I apologize. But I'm here now.
Where would you rather be? Right here. Right now.
A little Marv Levy right there for you if you didn't know. We're here in Buffalo, New York, obviously Blog Talk Radio. This is Making Sense with Mike and Tom. If you want to call in, 310-742-1773, and we'll take your call. And, of course, hit us up at Twitter and on Instagram at MSWSports.well. At MSW Sports, and then, of course, on the website at MSWSports.com.
Right.
Before you were here, Green Bay, Kansas City, talked Monday Night Football. It was a rout, so it was a score for you, 28-38, but Green Bay,
let's go.
Yeah, I understand that. 38-28, it looked a little bit better than it really was, but my gosh.
Right. It's almost like a movie who sells out, like, box office crazy, but it's a dud. What happened with that game?
Yeah, I mean, if you are a Green Bay Packers fan, you were loving that game. There is no doubt. But me, you know, having Jeremy Maclin on my team, and he scored a touchdown. They got that monkey out for that.
Years coming, boy.
And if you're a Jamal Charles fantasy owner, you're pretty happy about it yourself. But other than that, if you're a KC fan, you got to be thinking 1-2 right now in the division with Denver, who's 3-0.
You do that Denver game on Thursday night, kind of messed up their mojo.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, you know, I think they had a slight shot at winning that game if it wasn't for the defense completely just crushing them at every single turn. But here's the same thing happened with Green Bay. Three and out. I mean, you can't do, 9 3-and-outs or 8 3-and-outs, whatever it was.
Right, you can't win a football game that way.
Absolutely not.
and you can't have the garbage points and expect people to look at that and say, okay, yeah, maybe it wasn't as bad as it looked. No, it was way worse.
No, not at all.
Aaron Rodgers is the real deal.
Exactly. Going to the AFC, New England, 51 points. Drubbing, if you will, or drubbing.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. We were together with that game. It was ridiculous. It was like we were flipping back and forth, and every single time we went back, they had the ball and they were scoring.
Right.
They didn't even punt.
They did not. I didn't see 1 point for that game. We don't even have to cover that, but I want to ask you, who's the best team right now in the NFL?
Hands down, the Patriots. I don't see how you cannot say that. And I sent you an article earlier today, and if anybody here hasn't seen that article, it's on Bleacher Report, about the fact that they are now bringing in their offensive linemen and rotating them out, in and out, in and out, because of the fact that they have a couple guys out. The center is the only one that's actually played all the snaps. Everybody else, they've had, what, 8, 9, 10 different combinations?
Guys are gas on defense, and they can't keep up.
And in the long run, when these guys do get back, now you have 2, 3 players that are now ready to go because they have that experience. People are saying this is the future of what's going to happen with offensive line play. It would not surprise me if you see a lot of college teams start to do this. I know Florida State is going to possibly do this. I mean, hands down, the Patriots in the NFL, especially the AFC. I mean, Green Bay is obviously number two.
Right.
If you're going to have to, you know, have me rank them, I'm going Patriots, Green Bay, Arizona. And then I've got to take Denver. That defense is sick. Sick.
Yeah, my power rankings are coming out, and that's exactly how I got the first four.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a fifth to round it out, Cincy?
You know, here's a little secret, a little input, a little preview, because they're going to go up on the website, MFWSports.com. Number five, I've got the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm.
And, yes, they're 1-2. I get it, Mike, you're crazy.
Wow. Yes, I know.
But you just look at the potential. I know it was against the Chicago team. The 26-0 against the Bears, no Cutler, Jeffrey. Chancellor is back, though. And that makes a huge difference, not just for that defense, but for that team.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, not right now. They're maybe at the bottom of the top 10. I'll give you that, maybe, because you can see the potential and obviously what they have had as far as history is concerned. But they are not a top 5 team right now for me.
Okay.
You can't be 1-2. And beat a really bad Chicago. That's a tire fire right now.
But you mentioned Cincinnati. I'm not sold on them just yet. Oakland, Baltimore, they also beat a who's their first win?
I don't have it. I don't know.
No, they beat Oakland first.
Okay.
They beat the Baltimore Ravens. And give me one moment here. Losing track. Week two.
They're still 3-0.
They beat the Chargers.
Which I think is a pretty good team at 1-2.
I think they're pretty bad. Defensively, no one won.
I mean, who are you going to put there? Carolina? They're 3-0. They beat the Texans last week, who I don't look to as far as, I mean, Atlanta.
Carolina's another one of those teams. I'm not yet sure what they are. They're 3-0.
Atlanta's won too many close games. We went over this on Sunday morning. Atlanta has the worst differential as far as a 3-0 team now, because they only won by 4 points against the Giants. They've got the worst differential between any team out there.
And with Atlanta, I got them at I got Atlanta at 9.
Wow. I would be putting them higher than that. Now that's where I would have Seattle, personally. I would have them down right around the 9 mark, only because Atlanta's at least 3-0. They did their job. They did what they had to do to win those games. And if you're looking at Seattle, sure, they didn't have Cam Chancellor, but right now, Marshawn Lynch is a question mark. They barely got Jimmy Graham involved. They played a really bad team in Chicago. They couldn't beat the other two teams that they played. I mean, I know Green Bay at home, and I understand St. Louis. They don't have a good track record against St. Louis. But if I'm Seattle and I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, okay, we're back on track. Maybe in a couple weeks, if they run the table in a couple weeks, I can maybe see that.
Well, with the latest schedule, they got Houston coming up. I mean, it's really not that hard.
They should be 4-0.
Exactly. Take a look at week 5.
Well, we don't control the schedule.
Take a look at week 5. They got the Redskins,
and they should be 5-0. At the point.
I mean, you talk about running the table. I mean, they're right there.
The Saints. I mean, they should be 6-0 if they're going to be playing the Saints. That would probably be a closer game.
Tennessee.
They should. I mean, can Atlanta run the table this entire season? What's the
want to see the rest of the schedule. Tampa, okay, that's a winnable game for them. Who do they got next? San Fran. Okay, so now that's, I mean, that's come down to earth quite dramatically. Colin Kaepernick getting dropped all over fantasy leagues.
Atlanta wasn't going to buy for week 10.
A buy for week 10, which is perfect. If you want to buy, you want a late one, and that's perfect for them. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, here's one, the Colts in week 11. Now, that might be one of those games where you say, okay, it's a show-me game.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Okay, here we are. We're going up against a class team in the AFC. Well, we'll see. I mean, the class team in the AFC couldn't get by the Bills, and they lost another game. They barely won this past week. That was not a simple, easy game for them, and that was against Tennessee. So let's think about this. We said Tennessee earlier was a win for Atlanta, and yet they barely beat Tennessee, and Tennessee had a shot at coming back in that game.
Yeah, with Indy, they were up early in the game, then all of a sudden here comes Mariota in the bunch, and they're coming, they tied the game up, took the lead, and then after that, you saw a really close game between Indy and Tennessee, Indy being on the road, or Indy,
I think Indy was home.
Indy at home, Indy was at home, too.
You can't, Tennessee.
Yeah, you can't have a game where Tennessee, on the road, hopefully this is in the second home game. You've got to repay your fans for what you did on Monday night against a team that was inferior to you. And now you come home and you give a show like this. Andrew Luck has to learn how to protect the football. He has to learn how to protect the football. That's what it comes down to.
No, they were. That was in Tennessee. They were in Tennessee. That was not a home game. So they were in Tennessee playing that game. Indianapolis has more home games coming up. And it doesn't really matter if they're at home or if they're away, to be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned. It's not like St. Louis back in the day when they were at home and they were on the turf.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, we're looking at it right now. They were definitely Tennessee was at home right there. And that last play, man, jeez. Got it so bad. As soon as I saw that play, I was like, oh, wow, this guy's going nowhere.
Right.
Why are they handing it off to him for that two-point conversion? They barely won on a botched two-point conversion that they should have been either having Mariota run the football or having him throw the football. You hand that off to a fullback?
Right.
Come on.
I don't understand it. And, I mean, you got Delaney Walker there. You got Dorial Green back on the right. That's exciting.
Even if you're just tossing it up to the play that I hate the most, which is toss it up to the wide receiver in the back of the end zone. I hate that play. But I would still take that over handing it off to the fullback for a two-point conversion.
I believe he hurt himself, too, after that.
He did. He definitely did. I don't know if he'll be playing the next coming weeks, but hopefully he's not hurt too bad.
And he also might have hurt his chances as far as being a very productive player in that offense.
Well, he scored the touchdown to get him in, I think. So that's why I think they said, okay, let's go to him again.
Or at least he scored a touchdown. They probably took him each one of these for granted. And they were just lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah,
ready to go.
I'm not doing that, buddy. I can tell you that.
Indy. I know we talked on Sunday as far as their playoff chances before, because they're only
must win. They did it, so they're moving on. They're going up against Jacksonville. That's a win. I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
right. So
they lose this game. I'll say this: they lose this game, I'm done with it.
Speaking of being done, tomorrow night, Pittsburgh at home without Ben Roethlisberger, he got hurt in that Rams game. We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but first I want to talk about the opponent, the Baltimore Ravens. T, your Super Bowl pick, 0-3. We have a stat about the 0-3 team going to the playoffs. Only one team has done so, your beloved Buffalo Bills. Can this team turn things around? Can they join Buffalo and get to a point where they turn their season around and say, hey, this is it. We're here. Let's do it for Steve. Let's do it for ourselves. Let's do it for Ray. Ray Lewis isn't there.
Ray. Let's do it for Ray.
Let's do it for Ray.
Both Ray. No, it's over. They're halfway.
Will Baltimore become an 0-4 team? With that, I think we can say it's a foregone conclusion that they won't make the playoffs.
I wouldn't be surprised if you see them going 0-4. I know you're going to sit there and say, oh, Michael Vick's the backup. Oh, he's this, that. I think Michael Vick has tempered himself where he is not the old, I'm just going to fumble the ball all over the place, Michael Vick. You hand that ball off to Le'Veon Bell. You run that play action. You get the ball to the guys that you know are your playmakers, who they have quite a few of. Guys are starting to come back.
They do.
I think you sit there and you wait and you don't put the ball out there if you're Michael Vick. If you're about to get sacked, take the sack. Don't. He's not a runner anymore. We know that. He can't run the football like he used to. He's still mobile. The only thing that I think they're going to have as far as the differences is that Ben has been there for so long, and now you've got a guy who's not only left-handed, but he's got a different cadence, a different style. They've got a short week.
Right.
You may see that first period, first quarter, second quarter, maybe in the middle of the second quarter, you really start to see them, okay, now we really
see what's going on
in Pittsburgh.
Right.
If they can hold off Baltimore, which to me, Baltimore is not that high offensive power team.
No.
If they can hold off Baltimore and be within a touchdown 10 points in the middle of the second quarter and maybe get a score before that second quarter ends to go into halftime, I think that Pittsburgh has a very good chance, if not a great chance at winning that game.
Yeah, listen, they're gonna Le'Veon Bell's gonna get work made up this Thursday because he was out the first 3 weeks of the season, or the first 2 weeks of the season.
Right,
excuse me.
Right.
He's gonna get a ton of work this upcoming Thursday against the Ravens. He's gonna get a lot because you may see Vic come out and be a game manager. I know he was at St. Louis. You heard Coach Tomlin say, "Hey, he got us out of the stadium." That means he got us the victory. It was ugly, 12-6. They got one touchdown, and that was the Le'Veon Bell. One player I'm concerned with because of Big Ben's injury, flipping to the other side, is Antonio Brown. We know about his catch streak. We know how great he is as a player. We know fantasy implications. Guys are like, hey, do I sit him? What do I start him? Leave him in there? Hey, I'm confused. Can Michael Vick be that quarterback that can consistently hit their, I can't say hands down, but one of their best offensive players on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think he's the best offensive player. I mean, I know Le'Veon Bell, everybody's going to say, how could you not say him? But Antonio Brown just brings something that it's not. I mean, even the only other guy that's close to me is Julio Jones right now.
Yeah.
And I think as long as he makes it a focal point to get him the ball, then yes. But if I'm an Antonio Brown fantasy holder, I start him every week no matter what. I don't care who he's going up against. I don't care who he has at quarterback. Until they prove to me that he can't get the ball, I'm looking at him as being my number one guy every single week without question.
Yeah, it makes sense for them to do that because Michael Vick can get the ball there. He's proved that against St. Louis. He proved that in his years in Philly after what happened outside the field. And also he did something that people liked in Atlanta. So we'll see what happens this upcoming Thursday. I can't wait. I'm probably going Pittsburgh on that one.
I'm taking Pittsburgh to win. I think Baltimore goes to 0-4. First time ever since John Harbaugh's been there that they were even 0-3, so now it'll be the first time ever that they're 0-4. It'll be a rough, rough game for them. There is no doubt.
Wow. I can't believe you're saying that.
It's tough. I mean, the Ravens have kind of been like that pinnacle team that you look at and say every year
every
they're there.
Year, I was going to say.
And now, like, Cincinnati's now that team that's taken over in the north of being that team every year. I mean, you look at what they've been doing there. You look at everything that they've been able to accomplish regular season-wise.
Right.
It's now time to step up in postseason. But, you know, we'll see if they can take over that mantle.
Predictions, we went before the season, week by week. Tom, you had yours. I had mine for week four. Briefly, I know with the first couple of games in the season, I had New England Pitt, I had Green Bay Seattle, and I had such a great game last week with the Giants and the Skins. But exactly. You can just make that noise.
And I had Arizona San Francisco, and we saw what happened in that game. That was a joke. I mean, you know, for me to pick that game. But, you know, how am I going to be able to predict that Colin Kaepernick's going to throw two interceptions right off the bat? It is what it is. I mean, like I said, Kaepernick is now being dropped in a lot of fantasy pools out there.
Yeah.
I know he was earlier today.
For week four, I just wanted to give the people just a quick synopsis of what Tom and I had for week four. Tom, you ended up going with Dallas and New Orleans. So that's a game that we can cover just really, very briefly as far as storylines going into it. You can catch the podcast on MSWSports.com and SoundCloud, where you can get a full in-depth
rundown of games and topics that we have. You know, you look at before the season starts and you say to yourself, man, this looks like a great matchup.
Right.
This is like the last one that I would want to see. Drew Brees might be out again. There's no timetable on when he's coming back. Brady Romo's obviously out.
Peyton said Brees is throwing the football.
At least he's throwing it. Nothing that I've seen has said that Drew Brees is starting. So as far as I know right
that's
now, you're going with Luke McCown versus Brandon Weeden.
On Sunday Night Football.
Good Lord. Worst matchup ever.
I have Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and now you look at the quarterbacks on one side, Flacco, but the team is trash.
I mean,
now you have Roethlisberger out, and now it's Michael Vick.
Man, you know, you sit there and you say to yourself before the season starts that these matchups look so great, and then once you get into the season, you think to yourself, man, how did I pick these matchups? Like, what is it about this matchup that I thought was going to be great? But if you look at the rest of the schedule right now, I mean, you might be picking Minnesota-Denver.
You might be.
2-1, Denver's 3-0. I mean, you know, you might be looking at some of the other matchups out there. I mean, even the Buffalo-Giants matchup, even the Giants are 1-2, people keep talking about the fact that they can take that division now that everything's going on with Washington, and Philadelphia made their comeback, as I predicted that they would. Now they're 1-2. They're going up against Washington. There is no great – I mean, KC, Cincy? If KC was 2-1, maybe? I don't – Nothing's out there right now that's just jumping out at me. Nothing.
Literally nothing.
This is rough. This is a rough week right here. I can tell you that right now, and I guarantee you that Vegas is going to be winning a lot of money this week.
I see a lot of trap bets.
St. Louis, Arizona is one of those games where I'm looking at it saying, if St. Louis could somehow, some way pull out a win, I think it's in Arizona. If they can pull out a win there, that would be huge for Arizona, or I mean St. Louis.
Who's got the most to lose this week on slate? What team? We're going to end with that.
It's a 1-2 team. I would say either the Colts, because they're 1-2 if they lose to Jacksonville, which I don't expect them to, and KC.
What about Philly? Are you really riding your ship though?
I think Philly is back on track right now, and I think they're going up against Washington. I think that's a win. If you're going to be looking at these 1-2 teams, of course, these are the teams. But KC has at least a shot at getting into the AFC wildcard
picture, yeah.
I mean, Indy is looking at still, they're like tied for number one in the South. So, you know, I think they're going to win that. Philly, maybe I would then go Philly and KC are the two teams I'm looking at saying, you know what? If they drop to 1-3, that could be very, very bad for them. Or even San Francisco, and they're going up against but it's in San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm right along the lines with you. I mean, you talk about those two teams who had high aspirations before the year started and now facing 1-3 possibly playing in face. They could be Baltimore, who's playing them around, facing 0-4. Look at the Saints and Dallas. I think Dallas has a lot to lose, too, because you were that team in the NFC East to say, hey, we're going to supplant ourselves as number one. We had injuries. Now how do we keep ourselves afloat?
Here's a quick coach hot off if it happens. Joe Philbin. If they lose against the Jets are going to be 3-1. Miami will be 1-3. It would not surprise me if you see Miami make big moves in the next couple weeks, if they continue to go on their losing ways.
You must have saw my power rating. Because that's what I mentioned with the Miami Dolphins. I got Miami coming in
at the wavelength,
22.
It's the wavelength.
If it's not plus 500 by the end of the week or by the end of this bye week, it's gone.
Yeah.
MSWSports.com, MSWSports on Twitter. Thank you for joining us. For Tom Hellas, my name is Mr. Michael Mack. Always. Love everything you're doing. Share with the blog, Jerome Singletary, Dennis Agapito. Good luck out there in London. And Tom, break them off with that piece, man.
If you're out and about, please make sure you're safe and don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Deuces.
most. Watch out the store for the road. Talking straightforward to hoes. Got Uncle Zach smoking. Some put blow up they nose to cope with the lows. The wind is cold and it blows. In they socks and they souls. Niggas holding they rolls. Corners leave souls open and closed. Hoping for more. We know where to go. Niggas rolling in droves. They shoot the wrong way cause they ain't knowing they goes. The streets ain't safe cause they ain't knowing the cold. By the foes, I was told, either focus or fold. Got cousins with clothes, hope they open some doors. So we can not close and roll in a roll. Now I roll in the O's with windows that don't roll. Down the roads with cars get broken and sold. These are the stories told by Stony and Cottage Grove. The world is cold, the block is hot as the stove. On the corner,
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling. On the corner, niggas robbing.
Our Stonehenge, our Taj Mahal,